Discuss Bible Teaching on Revelation and End Time Truth by David E. Ball is titled Doubles of Revelation.
We believe that Revelation does make sense. We believe that there's a pattern in the Bible. And with this pattern, you're able to decode what God is saying. How many know that sometimes Jesus talked to the people and he said, I don't really want you to know what I'm talking about. Have you understood? He said, you hear and understand, I'd have to heal you. And you get saved. How many remember that's in the Bible? It's a little hard on us evangelicals. Because we think everybody ought to get saved, remember? Well, there's some scriptures in the Bible that kind of wonder, make a guy wonder about that. It says that the sound went out to all the nations that he might call out a people for his name. Call out a people for his name. Does that sound like he's going to go get them all? No? I don't believe so. Some people believe there's going to be a great revival here pretty soon and everybody's going to get saved. I wonder about that. I'm not so sure about that. There's some scriptures indicate to me that there's some called out ones that have to hear the word and get called out, and men are called and few are chosen, and pretty soon after that's all fixed up, why then the end comes. Do you see what I'm telling you about? Now, some people believe that, no, that's not right. The gospel goes to the whole world, and every knee ought to bow and every tongue confess, therefore, this whole thing is going to keep going until everybody's saved. Well, we'll see which is right. I believe that we will see. I believe I'm talking to some people who are going to be alive and remain in the coming of the Lord. I'm talking to some people who are going to see, get the answers, this whole thing. This is the generation that the angels and the prophets desire to look into. And here we are. I'll tell you, I looked you over and you're a motley crew. Yeah, this is what God's going to use to win the world, but here we are. Well, you see, there's really nothing wrong with this. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is changing us. And what that means is I'm not as bad as I was. So tomorrow I'm going to be better than I am tonight. Praise God. See, if you get this attitude, you'll never have to go to psychologists. If you can just accept yourself the way you are tonight, just accept things just the way they are, then next week things will change and you'll be better, a lot better off for it. And you'll really be healthy. Now, this kind of thinking really brings strong mental health. Now, we believe that the book of Revelation makes sense if you have a key. And the key is in the book of, what's the first book of the Bible?
Genesis.
And it's in Genesis that we found the key that began to unlock the book of Revelation for us. In that book we found there were seven fat and seven skinny cows and seven fat ears and seven skinny ears. They were all the same thing. They represented the same thing. Let's do that again. Seven fat cows. Then I dreamed about the seven skinny cows. The skinny cows went out and ate up the fat cows. They were just as skinny as they were before. You remember the dream? I saw the seven fat ears and seven skinny ears came and ate up the fat ears and they were nothing. He said, I've heard of thee that you can interpret a dream. Joseph said, wait a minute, Pharaoh. There's nothing in me. There is nothing in me. God's going to interpret this dream for you. He's going to use me to do it so that he can prove that there's a God in heaven. And you better worship him. Then Joseph began to say, the seven fat cows and the seven fat ears are the same thing. You remember? 7 years of what? Plenty. Seven skinny cows, seven skinny ears, 7 years of famine. And they line up. Now, in the book of Revelation, it's exactly the same way. Instead of seven fat cows, it's seven. Instead of seven skinny cows, it's seven trumpets. Instead of seven fat ears, it's seven angels. Instead of seven skinny ears, it's seven vials, golden vials. And it lines up exactly the same way in the book of Revelation that it did in the first book of the Bible, and I think that's neat. Don't you? For God to use a pattern in the first book, and the last book, and all the books. God speaks twice. It tells in Genesis chapter 41, verse 32. God spoke twice, doubled the dream unto Pharaoh, because it wanted to establish first that it was God. See, when you get it twice, it's God doing it. Also, it'll shortly come to pass. All right, I'm going to imply this. When you begin to see the devils and parallels of the book of Revelation, it's because it's the right day, the right time, the right generation. God established it, and it will also shortly come to pass. I believe that you're seeing some things right now. The whole world's seeing some things about the book of Revelation right now that are going to shortly come to pass. Now, I'd like to talk about that for just a minute. I was positively amazed and thrilled when I began to see just recently that 20,000 of our books, the key to the book of Revelation, are out all over the United States. And that's a big impact, you know. That's a lot of books. That's a lot of people. Big impact throughout the whole United States. 20,000 of those books. Lots of tapes. 30,000 of those little books, Who Sent Rapture, are out all over the United States. Isn't that something? And that's making a big impact. I believe the impact is around the world right now, literally around the world, because it'll shortly come to pass. I believe that this is happening. There's a relative success of the story that we're telling because God wants it successful. He wants everybody to hear it. And it's just going out in a tremendous way. And so I'm thrilled to be a part of this. We believe that in the book of Revelation, the trumpets are the same as the golden vials, and the seals are the same as the angels. But this half of the book of Revelation, the left half on your chart, that's seals and trumpets, those are a heavenly view. Now, if you have your little paper there, you'll find out there's all this is on your paper, and even the scriptures are listed there for you. And I'm not going to go through all those scriptures with you right now tonight, but I do want to go through this set to kind of confirm what we're saying. How many? Did we do this last time, and did we read these scriptures?
Yes.
Did we? Last week? Well, for those who weren't here, you answer the questions in order to quickly confirm to those others that we're telling the truth. Is that okay? They'll get the idea, those who weren't here. Now, if I ask you a question, how many have noticed that I never embarrass you? Have you noticed that? I never ask an embarrassing question, so you can go ahead and let out and give me your answer. In other words, respond. And you know what? You can get more out of a teacher when you're responding. Did you know that? Give them the come on. and you get a whole lot more because he sees that you want it. And if it looks like you got blank stares, well, naturally, then he's going to kind of search around to find something you do want. So I'd like for you to respond. First trumpet was in chapter 8, verse 7. It blew on the earth, you remember? Hell and fire mingled with blood were cast upon the earth. Now, chapter 16, verse 2, the vial, first vial was poured on the what?
Earth.
Say it real loud.
Earth.
Now, the second trumpet was on the scene and became blood. How many remember? That was in chapter 8. In chapter 16, the second vial was poured on the
sea.
And it became
blood.
The third trumpet was on rivers and fountains of waters. The third vial was on, say it real loud. Rivers and fountains of waters. How many are catching it, even though you didn't read it? How many know what I'm talking about? It's pretty obvious, even though we didn't have time to read it. We're not taking time tonight. We did the other night. The fourth was on the sun, the fourth trumpet. That was in chapter 8. The fourth vial was on the
sun.
Now, watch it. This is a little tricky on the fifth one. Fifth was in the bottomless pit, fifth trumpet. It blew, went up out of the bottomless pit, came those locusts. The fifth vial was poured on the
sea
of the beast. And that's not the same word. In fact, it's the first time in the whole list that it didn't use the same words. But we know that the seed of the beast is the
bottomless pits.
Same thing. In fact, you don't have to use much imagination to figure out that a bottomless pit is a good place for the beast.
That's
where it's wrong. Yeah. 14:14 says, I'm going to throw you right there. So that's the pit. Now, what is a bottomless pit? Yeah, it's a big hole. Big hole in the ground. And you go over the edge and look down, what do you see? Chinaman looking back. And now here's the good part. When you begin to combine, this is the first time we've combined anything, but we're going to combine a lot now. That's how we got this story about the pipeline and the wall and all that kind of stuff, by combining. But when you start to combine, then you begin to see that, like the fifth trump and the fifth vial are the same thing. That means the bottomless pit and the seed of the beast are the same thing. Then we get all the references of the Bible to bottomless pit, all the references to seed of the beast, and we combine them. We don't treat them separately anymore. Now, in all your concordances and Bible dictionaries, they treat bottomless pit separately from sea of the beast. And they get different stories from it when they study them. But now we're putting them all together because we've seen that it's talking about the very same thing. So then, the next sentence is a result of such an analysis. The Antichrist comes from Pergamos, city in Turkey, sound the fifth trumpet. His name is Abaddon Apollyon. And that's an awful lot of information, specific information about the Antichrist. In fact, you can't find that much information in any book. You can get some guy's idea of what he thinks it might be. But I'll tell you the exact name, the city, the events before and after, and all this kind of stuff. But I didn't do that out of here. I wasn't reading tea leaves. Didn't get out of astrology column. All we did was go through the Bible and take bottomless pit, sea of the beast, and tell the story when it's brought together. Are you making sense on this, you see? And therefore, as you follow this pattern, you'll get a whole lot more than just that. That's just the start of the thing, to be able to understand what it's talking about. Now, here's a picture that you have on your laps tonight. It's the one that I handed you tonight. We talked about it a little bit last time, and I'm going to do a very quick review on this picture for you so that you might have it and keep it in your notes on the doubles and parallels of the book of Revelation. This is how it divides. This will divide the book of Revelation in chapters, and if you get time, and if you take this little chart right here in your Bible and the Young's Analytical Concordance, and then you go to a desert island for 7 years, you'll be able to write the book Revelation Makes Sense by yourself, because it'll all make sense with this one little chart and your own Bible. But if you don't have 7 years, then come here to the basement and we'll try to make some interpretations for you that I'm sure you could do yourself with this chart. Basically, here's what it is. There are two books. The first book is held in the hand of one sits on the throne. Do you remember the picture? Revelation chapter 4. I saw a throne. He that sat thereon was to look upon like a sardine and jasper stone. Round about the throne was in sight like unto an emerald. Out of the throne proceeded in lightnings and thunders. Remember the story? He had in his hand a little book written within and on the back side, sealed with seven seals. There is also another book. This book is in chapter 10. There was an angel that stood with us, one foot on the land, the other foot in the sea, raised his hand toward heaven and cried that time should be no longer. This angel had in his hand a little book. Remember the story? Then a voice from behind the throne said, take the book out of the hand of the angel. How do you know that? Now let's review for just a minute. When this book was to be opened, they looked for somebody who could understand the book. Do you remember the story? They looked in the sea, under the sea. They looked everywhere for somebody who had the power, the authority, to open the seals of this book. Then John cried. It actually says he cried tears because no one was found worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. Then one of the 24 angels, or elders, said to John, "Listen, John, don't cry. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to..." What? Take the book and open the seals thereof. Then he said, I was looking for a lion and I saw a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. And the lamb took the book and began to open the seals. Remember the story? Can you think of anything more heavenly? Here's God sitting on the throne, Jesus the lamb, takes the book, you know, and you see, everything, watch me, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All these chapters are heavenly view. It's out of this book. Chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 is the earthly view out of this book. First book, second book. This book, Jesus opened. This one, John 8, you remember? Take the book out of the hand of the angel. Give me the little book, he said. Okay, take it and eat it up. In your mouth it'll be sweet as, and in your belly it'll be. And so he took it and he ate it, and sure enough, that's the way it was. Then we began to notice some things. As we noticed chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, this is all a heavenly view. Chapter 12 through 16, the earthly view. And over in chapter 10, it talks about what happens when you blow the seventh trumpet. Now, let me do that again. When we blow the seventh trumpet, see, sometimes we divide this a little differently, this, according to convenience here. This starts in chapter 6, and this ends in chapter 11. first seals in chapter 6, the last trumps in chapter 11. Now, do you remember on your chart there, on the left side, what's the last chapter number given? I'm talking about this chart right here. When does the first half of the book end? Which chapter? Look on down the left side, and the last number there is 11, see? And it ends in chapter 11. The heavenly view ends in chapter 11. Now, the heavenly view ends when the seventh trumpet blows. When the seventh trumpet blows, that's the end. It's finished. It's over with. And all prophecy is over with at the time of the seventh trumpet. Someone read in their Bibles now, Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, for a confirmation of this concept, to prove this point as we go on. You've got to see this. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. Have you got it? Read it out to him real loud.
But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets.
In the days of the voice of the which angel?
Seventh
angel. Now, the trumpets are down here at the last part of this chart here. And the last trumpet blows in chapter 11. And he says, when the seventh angel sounds, when the seventh trumpet blows, the mystery of God should be what? What's that say there? Finished. In other words, everything God has told the prophets is to be what? Finished. Fulfilled. Over. Complete. Done. Through. All prophecy is all over. Which chapter?
11.
Chapter 11. All prophecy is to be over with chapter 11. But the book of Revelation's got 22 chapters. Got 11 more. It's all over with 11. Now read me chapter 10, last verse. You've got it right there.
And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings.
What do you do when you prophesy again?
Repeat it.
Another time around. And so you prophesy all over again. Start with 12 and going on. But this time his prophecy was out of the... The second book. The book that was in the hand of the angel. See, the first book, only Jesus could open. He was the only one found worthy. And he told the heavenly view. But the second book, John 8. You remember? It became a part of him. Can you think of anything, a symbol for anything more earthy? He eats it and it becomes a part of him. Now, I'll give you another one to show you the same thing. From chapter 1 to 11, John's always writing. He said, I saw and I wrote. You remember? Over and over and over again. I saw and I wrote. I saw and I wrote. 1 to 11, I saw and I wrote. Chapter 12, remember, writes again. You can't find him writing another thing from chapter 12 on. You know why? It's already written. It's in that book. It was his. He ate it. He's just telling from chapter 12 on what the book had in it. You know, eating is a symbol for making it yours. Did you ever eat up a book? I'm not talking literally, but you know what I mean. You ever say, well, I just ate that up. Did you ever use that? It's all right. It's the same idea. So, I'm not sure that he literally ate the thing. I'm not going to argue about that. But from the symbolic idea, it was his. It was an earthly book. And from then on, he didn't write anymore because it was already written. And he had it. And I'm making sense during this in these dozen parallels to show that this is a division. Then, there's one other concept I'd like to project to some of those that are new with us tonight. This is the end. Chapter 11 is the end. Chapter 16 is the end. It's over. It's complete. The story is finished. But there is what we call a retrospect look at two ladies. From chapter 17 to 22, the story continues in a double or parallel, this about two ladies, the good girl and the bad girl. And he says in chapter 17, verse 1, and one of the angels, which had, past tense, one of the seven last vials, came and said unto me, come here, I'm going to show you what happened, E.D., past tense, to this girl. This is a flashback. Have you ever been in a movie or something like that, or read a story, had a flashback, and it goes back in time and starts the story again as far as time? Well, that's what happens to this girl here, called the harlot woman and the bride of Christ. These are flashbacks into the story, which is already complete in chapter 11 and chapter 16. He says, I'm going to show you what happened while I was doing these things. That brings you to the end of the book. And the book's over. Sometimes I teach Revelation and go around to various cities, and after it's over with, they say, that Ebron came in here, told us all those things, and he didn't tell us anything. Everything he said was already in the Bible. I guess that's the way it ought to be, huh? That's the way it ought to be. So, hopefully, all we're doing is showing, you know, alignment, and you'll get it yourself. And I really believe that the Bible interprets itself. Now, what I mean by that is, the Bible interprets itself. It tells us one time in the Bible, here's a picture that, where it begins to interpret itself. It says, I saw this beast. Here's a picture of a red beast and a leopard beast. Woo, boy, isn't he? Huh? Doesn't that turn you on? Well, these are the bad guys. This is called the devil. It's called the Antichrist, and it's a false prophet. He said, I saw this beast, this one here. He had 7 heads and 10 horns. His crowns were on his horns. He came up out of the sea. Do you remember the story? Chapter 13, verse 1. This beast came up out of the sea. Later on in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, it says, now the waters which thou sawest are many peoples, multitudes, kingdoms, and nations. Do you think that this, maybe I can put that on there. Oh, boy. He's really in the tribulation now, isn't he? Do you think that this beast right here got wet? Came up out of the sea. But the Bible just said the water is people. Do you think he was wet? So you can interpret it yourself. You don't have to ask somebody, well, what's that sea? Was that the Mediterranean Sea? Or the? You just look around, see the devils and parallels, and they'll tell you that the sea is made up of
people.
Have you ever heard the expression, I saw a sea of faces? There was a sea of faces, a sea of people. That's what he called it. It came up out of a sea of people. And so that's the same basic idea that we're trying to get across, that it interprets itself. You don't really need me. You don't need anybody to interpret the book of Revelation. It'll do it itself. All you need is somebody to show you some alignment. And then after it aligns, sure enough, it really does interpret itself. Now, we're going to go on, and I'm going to try to say a few things tonight to interpret itself and show you how we've all been through it, and I'm going to save some time tonight by trying to show you that the first 5 seals are already open. I believe the first 5 seals are open, and I believe the 6th seal should open at 8:45.
You don't know
what's
day.
Huh? Well, now I'm not prophesying the 6th seal is going to open at 8:45. It's just I conduct my life as though it's the very next event. Now, to tell you the truth, I believe it's already open. I believe it's open. I believe the 5th seal is shutting and the 6th seal is opening right now. And I believe the day that started was on June the 5th, 1967. And I think that we're at the end of one period and the beginning of a brand new period. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say? We're at the end of one period and the beginning of another. And you can't really say this is the day. You know, when you're dealing with things of God and periods of God, you can't say, well, the law stopped at this day and the grace started. Does that, you know, it doesn't work that way. You can't say the law stopped here and the grace started there. It doesn't work. Well, we can guess all night as to when law stopped and grace started. Somebody said, when Jesus was born. Somebody else said, no, it was when he died. Somebody else said, no, it was when he was resurrected. Another guy said, no, it was when Pentecost. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. Well, it's an overlap, but shades of gray. Does that make sense? And so in all of these symbols, in the interpretation of these symbols, they overlap and they have shades of gray. Now, tonight, we're going to get into this overlap, and I'm going to try to prove a couple, one or two things, and the importance of understanding the opening of the 6th seal. When we get to the opening of the 6th seal, we're going to find out the earth has got 4 corners. It tells you right there in Revelation chapter 7, the earth's got 4 corners. And people were very upset for a while because the Bible said the earth's got 4 corners and we knew the earth was round, right? But the scientists have just discovered the earth has got 4 corners. And they even tell us where the 4 corners are and how the waters in the sea are kind of heaped up and dished out where these 4 corners are. And after a while, all the engineers will figure out that the Bible's right in the first place. So don't laugh at me, you didn't know it either. Now, I'm going to teach from this particular, I'm going to teach a whole two-hour lesson one of these days on this map alone, with scriptures, showing the scientific, you know, events, what happened, how it's all confirmed, how the Bible's lining up. That's what we call the lesson on the opening of the sixth seal. Now, tonight we're going to get into the sixth seal and why it's so important to understand the sixth seal. Then we're probably going to take one or two nights, whole weeks, really, on the sixth seal itself. It's called the Day of the Lord. How many have read something in the Bible about the Day of the Lord? I want to say this, woe unto you who desire the Day of the Lord. It's a day of darkness. That's what it says in Amos chapter 5. It's a black, bad day. It's like a man runs from a bear, jumps in the house, slams the door, and gets bit by a snake.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, have you ever had one of those days? You ever had one of those days when your car, when you get in the car and you're driving down the road and the car doesn't work and you get home and you find out that the shelves that you'd painted were off and pretty soon they were full of dirt and you found your wife greeted you with the story that the basement's full of water? And you ever had one of those black days? Warned you who desire the day of the Lord. It's a day of darkness. Now, some of you don't know, but I'm explaining what happened tonight. Some people have that same problem tonight. Opening of the sixth seal is the event that's up, and it's coming right away, and that's the event that I'm very interested in, and that's what I'd like to talk to you in more detail about, but I got to lead up to it. Now, we believe that it's taken about 2,000 years to get from the top of the chart to this line. What we mean is, to get from the first seal to the end of the fifth, it's been about 2,000 years. You know, Jesus started, it was the gospel starting. It's been about 2,000 years to get this line. I believe we're at this line right now. And the sixth seal is just about to start. And now we're going to get some scriptures and we're going to try to prove to you that Jesus said, the generation that's here at the opening of the sixth seal will be here when he comes.
That makes me feel religious.
Because I'm talking to some people who are here and are seeing before their very eyes the unfolding of things we were talking. Last year we were talking about these things. Now this year, the newspapers got them in headlines. Last year, I was telling people, hey, you guys, watch out, eggs are going to be $1 a dozen. And people are calling them crazy. This year, people are coming out to hear what else that crazy guy's got to say. Because the newspapers are saying this guy's right. The inflation is coming at a tremendous clip and a tremendous rate. The nations are lining up the same way. And the money failure is hitting right on the button to the very days that have been prophesied, the very days the money's failing. If you have your faith, hope, and trust in money, forget it. There's only one place that you can put your faith, your hope, and your trust and get through this. Who is it? In Jesus Christ. With your hand in the hand of the man that stole the waters. See? Then you can get through the thing. So don't you worry. Remember now, we read in the last chapter. And we win. But there's going to be an awful fight. There's going to be inflation. There's going to be war. There's going to be all kinds of things. Put them in the room. And you don't have to go around feeling worried about what's going to happen. It ought to make you say, glory, hallelujah. Every time you pick up the paper and see that the inflation is hitting worse, that the stock market is falling apart, that Israel and Egypt are still in it. And as you begin to see Israel taking over certain nations, you'll know that we're ending the battle of Jehoshaphat and starting getting ready for Armageddon. And this is what we're going to try to develop during the next several weeks as to why we're seeing some of these things. The battle of Jehoshaphat, the World War III. And why World War III? Why are we talking about the battle of Jehoshaphat? How do you connect that with World War III? Well, we'll give you some scriptures as we develop that. But first, you got to see why we believe it.
Please stop your machine and turn cassette over.